Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Well, this morning I want you to think of a time in which you were one of several people who had to get together to be in a meeting. Not that you wanted to be in a meeting, but you knew that you had to be there because there was a problem that needed to be solved, and all the people that you were with are there to meet for that reason, see if you can come up with a solution. Well, you start to deliberate back and forth, and you're throwing out ideas until finally one of those ideas seems to resonate with everybody, and you all think that this would be a great idea, and that someone needs to implement this. And so now you kind of start to look at one another to see who's going to volunteer. It's one of those kinds of times there that, well, because you're not so interested in volunteering, you know, and you start to lose eye contact with everybody. In fact, nobody else is kind of wanting to do it either. So everybody's kind of looking up and around and down at the floor, and now finally somebody says, "Hey, somebody needs to do something about this." Well, then everybody kind of pauses for a moment. Then somebody says, "Well, I got something going on. I can't do that right now." And before you know it, it seems like everybody there who's there for the meeting all seems to come up with an excuse why they can't do it. So here you are, you've got a solution, but everybody doesn't want to do anything about it, so you've spent all this time for nothing. I want you to keep that thought in mind as we go to our gospel reading for today. Well, our reading starts out with, now great crowds accompanied him. Well, word had gotten out about Jesus. People had heard then, well, he's done miracles, and so they were wanting to follow along him for doing that. And they also heard that he was a good teacher, too, and so they wanted to be there for that. And when they met Jesus there, they kind of found out that, you know, the first time that you ever met him, it's like, you like this guy. He's just got one of those kinds of personalities that people just resonated towards him. And so you wanted to be around him and that kind of thing, and the more that you're around him, you find out that, well, gosh, he has a lot of compassion on people, too. He's kind of like looking out there, and he sees that the people are like lost sheep that are in need of a shepherd. And so lots of people are there, and you included, are all hanging out around Jesus because, well, one, you want to see if he's going to do anything, you know, because you've heard about him, you know, healing folks and whatnot. But also, too, you just wanted to be there with him, too. Things that are going on with this Jesus. Interesting things. And you start to think about it there, it's like, God, he's like one of these prophets of old, doing all these amazing things. So you want to be there just in case he does it. But the Jesus who shows up in our lesson here for today, he's not that kind of guy today. It's a little bit different. Everyone was crowding around, and so he turned to them and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Hearing those words, people are thinking, "What? This isn't the Jesus I know. He's a nice guy. Not this." This had to have stunned the people there. Hate? Never heard hate come out of his mouth before. It was always love, right? But here he's saying we're supposed to hate the people we love. Our mother and father. Oh, those words seem to be so very harsh. The very people who we are told to love in the commandment, we're supposed to hate? What's up, Jesus? It's a good question. But if you go back to what Jesus was saying, he explains himself. If anyone would be a follower of Jesus, the relationship that matters most is the one between him and you. He's not asking a person to hate their parents. Okay? God would never ask you or say anything to contradict his word, that you might break one of his own commandments. It's not going to happen. He's not going to ask you to do that. But rather, he he's talking about relationships here. Family relationships are not to be more important than your relationship with him. For example, if making your children a bigger priority than Jesus, well, then that's a problem. Making sure that they get to every sporting event and every other weekend activity that goes on, instead of being at worship or in Sunday school, you have that as your priority, then that's the problem that Jesus is speaking about. You know, one time I had a woman and her adult daughter come up to me and ask me, and rather persistently asked me, "Can you go visit my husband?" And I'm like, "Why? What's going on?" He goes, "Well, he's got cancer and he's not doing very well, and I was wondering if you could come over to the house and visit him." I'm like, "Well, I'll check my schedule." She wasn't a member, and she's asking this kind of thing, and well, it worked out that I could go and do that. So I started to go out there and visit her husband on a regular basis, and indeed, he was getting worse. He's one who had no faith. But over the course of time there, he came to faith, and he asked me one day when I came to visit him, he said, "Can you baptize me?" And I was like, "Sure." He goes, "But I can't get to church." I said, "That's okay." I said, "We'll work that out." He said, "We'll do that next week right here at your house." So the next week I came out, had his wife go into the kitchen, got a bowl of water. Sitting there on the couch, put a towel there in his lap, I baptized him right there on the couch in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Poured water right from that bowl right over him. One but a few weeks after that the man died. Now, all along during this time, the woman and her daughter had been coming to worship at church very regularly. And after he died, they quit coming. Now, sometimes I understand that. They have a difficult moment there. They saw everybody at church, and they just kind of didn't want to deal with all the people all the time. I understand that. Every now and then, that happens. But more than a couple of weeks went by. So I gave her a call. Said, "Hey, been missing you. How are things going?" She's like, "Well, my daughter likes to show horses, and when they have those events, they're always over the weekend, and so that's why my daughter's quit coming, and well, quite frankly, I want to be with my daughter, and so that's why I'm going too." They never came back to church. The woman who had been so insistent to have me be there to minister to her husband now put her daughter ahead of her relationship with Jesus. That's the point that Jesus is making here in our lesson here for today. Where is your relationship with Jesus? Now go back to the crowds who were there. What was their reason for being there? They were all following just to see what Jesus would do. And how do we know this? Well, Jesus points that out, that there is a cost to discipleship. He says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He's saying that so that they might sit up and pay attention. Because everyone's ears would have perked up when he said everyone should bear their own cross. Well, they all know what that means. The cross means going to die. Bearing that cross means you're carrying your own cross to go up there and die. What Jesus is saying here is, he's calling out to the people, "Are you all in or not?" Well, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, going from town to town, and he knows that his end destination there at Jerusalem is going to be that very thing. He is going to bear his own cross. He's putting his relationship with the Heavenly Father first. Because when he was nailed to that cross, his mother was there. She was watching. And he looked down at her and saw her there, and he said, "Woman, behold your son. Man, behold your mother." Jesus was pointing out very clearly here that to the one who loved Jesus there, he's talking about John, his disciple. Now, this was going to be his mother, and his mother's like, "Here's your son who's going to take care of you." Jesus wasn't going to stay here on this earth just to take care of his mom. He was doing what the Father wanted first. It was all about his relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because you see, he knew why he was there. He was dying on that cross to earn forgiveness of our sins. And he rose from the grave later that we might have the hope of everlasting life, therefore restoring our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Now, knowing this was to be for him, Jesus called out to the great crowds at what the cost of a disciple would be. Paul talked about it too, and about the crowd's behavior. He said it this way to Timothy in his second letter. People were always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. There were great crowds around Jesus all the time, always learning, but never able to come to the truth. What would it take to really be his disciple? You had to be all in. How many times did Jesus speak words to the people and they turn away because it was such a hard saying? How similar is that to being in the group that arrives at a solution, but no one wants to invest any time or energy? Jesus calls to you and me today. He wants us to consider the cost. And what is the cost for you? Is Jesus asking you to quit your job? No. Is Jesus asking you to stop being a spouse or stop being a parent? No. All Jesus is asking is for you to evaluate your priorities. Where are you with your time, your talent, and your treasures when it comes to the Lord? You see, at the very end there, Jesus calls out to believers when he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Our believer that you are you listening? Jesus is asking, are you all in? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.